We're going to go ahead and go to our next public hearing. This will be for Senate Bill 543. And counsel, if you can give us a brief overview.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 543 requires a court to enter a limited judgment if it denies a special motion to strike. This is an anti-slap suit provision. It's from the American Civil Liberties Union. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. And we have two individuals that are here to give testimony, or it looks like maybe three. So I'm going to call Charles Hinkle, Maria DiMichele, and Andrea Meyer. And Charlie, were you going to start off, or how are we going to do this?
I think Charlie.
Okay.
Or I'm happy to just start off briefly and say, Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon, pleased today to bring forward to you Senate Bill 543 at the behest of Charlie Hinkle, a longtime cooperating attorney for the ACLU. Charlie will walk you through the bill, and then my legal intern from University of Oregon, Maria DiMichele, will speak briefly on behalf of the ACLU on this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Charles Hinkle. I've been practicing law in Portland for 37 years, and a large part of it has been in free speech areas, which this bill addresses. This bill is a lot shorter than the one you just considered, and it's working well. The legislature passed the SLAPP statute in 2001. It was largely promoted by Senator Schrader and Representative Shetterly, whom you just heard from. And its purpose was to deter the filing of lawsuits that impinge on people's free speech rights, and it's had that effect. I think we've seen fewer libel cases and other kinds of tort cases brought against people who testify in public hearings or who write letters to the editor or who participate in talk shows or whatever, any kind of exercise of free speech on an issue of public importance. So it has that purpose of deterring the filing of these lawsuits. And secondly, once one of these lawsuits is filed, it's had the very good effect of getting them resolved quickly and expeditiously. And if the trial court determines that they should not have been brought in the first place because these are an impingement on free speech rights, then the defendant wins his or her attorney's fees. So it's been, and as I say, it's working well. I don't know the overall number of cases that have been brought, but it's, in the last 7 years, it's probably, you know, in the order of 20, I would guess, cases in which these motions have been brought. And they've generally been granted. And I think we're going to see a diminishment of that because as the bar and the public in general get acquainted with the SLAPP statute, they realize they better think twice about bringing one of these lawsuits in the first place, which was the whole point of the lawsuit, of the original bill back in 01. So it's working well, and the Court of Appeals has issued a good opinion that I've cited there in paragraph 3, giving it some construction in paragraph 4. That Court of Appeals interpretation that I've set out there, I think, is the correct one, and I just set it out there for your background information. So that brings me to why we're here this morning. If on page 2 of my written submission to you at the top there, I told you that the Oregon statute was modeled after the California statute. The California statute originally did not have a provision allowing for an immediate appeal if your motion was denied. Somebody files a lawsuit against you for libel or invasion of privacy or any other kind of tort based on your free speech rights, then you file the anti-slap motion. But against the complaint, a motion to strike that complaint. If the trial court grants the motion, fine, the case is over, you get your attorney's fees, and free speech rights have been vindicated. But if the trial court denies your motion, then you have to go through the expense of discovery, depositions, the expense of trial, and all that. And then if you win at the end of it, that shows that your anti-slap motion should have been granted in the first place, and you've had to incur all those expenses, which was the very thing that the anti-slap statute was intended to avoid. So the California legislature, in the indented quotation there on page 2, recognized that problem. The legislature concluded it was necessary to authorize an immediate appeal because without this ability, the defendant will have to incur the cost of the lawsuit before having his or her free speech rights vindicated. When a meritorious anti-SLAPP motion is denied, the defendant under current law has only two options. The first is to file a writ, and in Oregon that would be a writ of mandamus with the Oregon Supreme Court, which is discretionary and rarely granted. That's true in Oregon as well. The second option is to go ahead and defend the whole lawsuit, not just the trial, but the expense of all the discovery. And then if the defendant wins after trial, the SLAPP law is useless. It's failed to accomplish its purpose because the defendant has had to go through all that expense. So the California legislature then added a provision to its statute saying if your motion is denied, you can take an immediate appeal. And that's what I'm asking you to do as well. And the mechanism for doing it in the Oregon, under Oregon law, is simply to add a provision, as you'll see on the bill itself, line 10 on page 1, just saying if a court denies the motion, the court shall enter a limited judgment. That accomplishes the goal of allowing an immediate appeal because under the judgment statute in Chapter 18 of ORS, a limited judgment is immediately appealable. So this, the wording in other states is different, but this is appropriate wording for Oregon because a limited judgment has now has appeared in several of our statutes, and when that happens, when that is done, when that's filed, you can take an immediate appeal from it. As it stands right now, there's no appellate review of a SLAPP motion at all because, if, as I say, if it's been denied and then you go through trial and you take and you, well, you win or lose, either party then takes the appeal, the Oregon Court of Appeals has said, well, you can't then examine whether the anti-SLAPP motion should have been granted because after a trial, the only thing we're going to look at as an appellate court is what happened at the trial and the ultimate judgment. We're not going to look at all these preliminary matters. So as it stands right now, there, the denial of an anti-SLAPP motion is subject to no appellate review whatever in Oregon. So we think, I think, it ought to be done at that initial stage. The whole purpose of this statute, this SLAPP statute, is to nip these kinds of lawsuits in the bud, and this provision would do that. So paragraph 9 on page 3 of my testimony, by authorizing an immediate appeal, this bill, 543, makes it clear that the statute, the Oregon statute, is intended to provide a substantive immunity from trial. It's not just a matter of the trial court making an early assessment of the evidence.
That doesn't accomplish much.
The whole point is to provide an immunity from having to go through the expense of trial altogether. The experience in other states, paragraph 10, similar kind of statements there from Massachusetts and Minnesota. The whole point of the anti-SLAPP statute is lost. All of its benefits are lost if you don't allow an immediate appeal. Paragraph 12, citing statutes from 5 other states in which they have, using various languages, a language in their statutes allowed for an immediate appeal. As I say, we do it slightly differently because of our limited judgment provision. So that's really all I have to say about the appeal provision, Mr. Chair. I think it is a modest amendment. One question you might have is how many appeals would this bring about? And I suspect it would be maybe one a year, if that. And it really wouldn't add any burden to the appellate courts because right now, if your anti-SLAPP motion is denied and you really feel strongly about it, you're going to file a writ of mandamus with the Oregon Supreme Court anyway. So an appellate court is already involved. I think it's just cleaner and neater under normal appellate practice to go to the Court of Appeals and let that court decide the issue. At the end of my testimony under paragraph F, paragraph 13, 14, and 59, I do suggest that the committee consider adding one other provision to the bill, and it's the language that I have at the very end, paragraph 15. The statute shall be liberally construed in favor of the exercise of the right of expression described in the statute. And I propose that because California found after some years of litigation that was a good thing too. just to kind of nudge the courts to say that we really mean this. This statute is here to protect free expression. And some people say, well, you shouldn't tell the courts to liberally construe or narrowly construe or any other kind of construe. Just let the courts construe the language. But in paragraph 14, I've cited there 49 statutes in which you've already told the courts to liberally construe something, from the UCC, which you just heard about, or convention facilities, family planning, polygraph examiners. I mean, if anything should be liberally construed in Oregon, it's the right of free expression. So I think I would urge you to consider adding that clause that I have there at the very end of my testimony in paragraph 15. That's not in the bill as it is in front of you. The bill, as you have it this morning, addresses only that appeal issue, which I urge you to support, but then also consider the liberal construction issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Michi? DiMicelli?
Sorry. DiMicelli. No, it's okay. Marie DiMicelli. I'm a U of O law student and also a legal intern for the ACLU of Oregon. I'm here today to testify in support of SB 543. And actually, this came about because Andrea asked me to do some research on comparing the proposed amendments to statutes already in existence in other states. And like Mr. Hinkle already testified, there are five other states that already allow for a right to appeal. And I actually found 25 anti-SLAPP motion statutes in existence right now. And also that four states contain broadly construed language. And I think the importance of amending, so I would also respectfully ask the committee to support an amendment to allow for the statute to be broadly construed. And as of yet, there has not been a problem with this in Oregon, but there has in California. The first amendment to the California's bill was in 1997, and that was when they had seen a number of cases that were narrowly construed and for only public concern, issues of public concern, and other anti-SLAPP motions were denied. And then also in 1999, that's when California amended theirs to have a right to appeal. So it seems very prudent to do both of those today and just prevent potentially another testimony and whatnot. And I think also in my experience, I've seen that for example, if Sierra Club brings a lawsuit against a corporation for polluting or something like that, the corporation will turn around and bring libel suits or slander suits against the individuals of Sierra Club and not only the organization. And many of those individuals do not have the funds to properly fund a full anti-SLAPP, or fund the full SLAPP motion, SLAPP lawsuit defending their name and their right to free expression. And that's really what's at stake here, is allowing free expression. And that's why the ACLU supports SB 543. And I urge you to please help create important safeguards and protections for free speech, and urge you to pass 543. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to open up for questions. And, of course, Charlie, you had to use the L word. You should have followed Maria's example of the B word, broadly construed, and so liberally construed. All right. So questions, comments?
Have a question.
Well, first we'll go Senator Wissett, and then we'll come back this way.
Thank you, Chair Przanski. I just was wondering if this proposal became statute, would it set a precedent for appealing the ruling of judges during trials regarding other subjects? It seems to me that, to my knowledge, if a judge rules in the middle of a trial on something, that isn't appealable until
right.
The trial is finished. So it just seems to be kind of opening a new venue.
Well, I think that's a good question, Senator. There is no, in Oregon law now, there is no right of interlocutory appeal, as it's called. There's no right to appeal from an evidentiary ruling or any kind of pretrial ruling. Other states, and in the federal system, you can have an interlocutory appeal, for example, an order of preliminary injunction. In the federal system, you can appeal a preliminary injunction. You can't in Oregon. So Oregon has very narrow rights of appeal, and this would add just a very narrow exception. As I said, since the SLAPP statute was adopted 8 years ago, there probably haven't been more than 20 or 25 cases in which it's been applied. And out of those, I know of only one in which an appeal would have been taken. So you are right. This opens a slight crack in the door that allows this one kind of order to be appealed. But, you know, whether that door opens any wider is completely up to this legislature, because this bill itself wouldn't allow any kind of evidentiary ruling at trial or anything else to be appealed. No, it's limited to this denial of a slap motion, and that's one of those once-in-a-blue-moon things.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You listed, Charlie, in your testimony in paragraph 14, all the other instances where there's a reference to liberal construction of a statute. Does the absence of that kind of language in a statute mean that because it's not stated that it should be liberally construed, that it should not be liberally construed?
Well, the issue arose in California because the California statute, and if you look at Senate Bill 543, the guts of it there, when can you make a special motion to strike on page 1 of it, lines 12 through 22, that is copied verbatim from the California statute. And in California's experience, when their bill was first adopted, some courts were taking a pretty narrow view of what is a statement to a government body, or what is a statement that is made in connection with a public issue or an issue of public interest there on line 22, taking kind of a narrow view of it, a constricted view. And so some anti-slap motions were being denied that should have been granted, the legislature said. Now, I confess, I don't know of many instances in which that's happened yet in Oregon, but I'd rather an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and I just, I will tell you this, that the issue has been raised. You know, some plaintiffs have said, oh, well, you, Mr. or Ms. Defendant, can't file your slap motion against my complaint because, look, in California, they've got that broadly construed language. Oregon doesn't. Therefore, the Oregon statute provides you, the defendants, less protection than the California statute does, and therefore we're going to read our statute a little more narrowly. Now, that argument hasn't prevailed yet, so far as I know, but I'd prefer that we not give that the opportunity for it to be made. You know, the right of free expression that is guaranteed there, any conduct in furtherance of the exercise of the constitutional right of petition or the constitutional right of free speech in connection with a public issue or an issue of public interest, those are extremely valuable rights that this legislature so determined. You know, 8 years ago, that's the only reason you've passed this statute in the first place. So I think that when a court is asked to determine, well, what is a public issue or what is an issue of public interest, that ought to be broadly construed rather than narrowly. And to go to your point, Mr. Chair, about why I put in liberally construed, you'd have to ask the legislature that, because the California statutes and every other state does use the word broadly construed, but in 49 instances, for reasons unknown to me, you've used the word liberally construed, and the phrase broadly construed doesn't appear in any Oregon statute. I mean, maybe you ought to just have an amendment saying wherever liberally construed appears, broadly construed shall now be substituted.
Senator Wissett.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Brzezinski. How many times is the word conservatively construed found?
Probably none. The opposite of liberally construed in this context would be narrowly construed, not conservatively construed. So.
And I guess I'll just put on the record that it does seem that our courts have given, when it comes to right of free expression, more of a broadly or liberal interpretation, but I understand that since we actually adopted what was California, that argument could be, and it sounds like it has been made, but just hasn't stuck yet.
Yeah. It gives somebody something to argue about. Well, why does California say theirs should be broadly construed, and since we copied our statute from California, did the legislature somehow have a different intent here?
Right.
I'd like to eliminate that argument.
Understand. Any